Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
I hope you're ready to go back into the third epistle of John and continue looking at the truth which God has for us here. And there is a lot of it, a lot more than perhaps you may have previously realized. We have been working our way down through the first four verses, and particularly the last couple of broadcasts focusing upon verses 3 and 4. Verses 1 and 2 are the introduction and identify the author and the recipients and give a greeting in the form of most letters in that day. But then in verses 3 and 4, John commends Gaius and others, no doubt other members of the church, of which Gaius is a member, and tells Gaius, as well as others, what joy they bring to his heart, and John tells them why his heart is filled with joy, what it is that they're doing that brings joy to him. Do they bring joy to John's heart because they flatter him? No. Do they bring joy to John's heart because they send him presents, gifts of money, or other tokens of affection? No, that's not mentioned here at all. Some of that may occur. We really don't know. But it's not mentioned. That's not what brings John joy. Well, what brings John joy? That his children are walking in truth. That's it. That's it. And I'm reluctant to get off of that because that's so important and I don't want you to miss it. That's it. That's it. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of the importance of that, the foundation of our Christian faith is truth. That is the Word of God. It's not based upon feelings. It's not based upon an experience. It's not based even primarily upon the fellowship that we enjoy with one another, though that's part of it, but it is based upon truth. And it's actually the truth that gives strength to our fellowship one with another. Oh, that we would understand this. Well, thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, July 2, as we continue looking at this great portion of God's Word. And thank you for remembering that we are dependent upon the gifts of our radio listeners in order to continue this ministry on this station. Well, if this matter of truth is the highest priority, as John tells us, I have no greater joy. I have no greater joy, verse 4, than to hear that my children walk in truth. Nothing gave John greater joy than to see truth implanted in the lives of his spiritual children to such an extent that he could clearly see that truth working out in their lives. It was manifested. He knew it was in them because it was flowing out of them. And that's what gave him greatest joy. But this is not only a matter of great joy to him, but it's a matter of commendation to them. To hear that my children walk in truth. Now listen to me. Though John mentions later the love of Gaius, which is very important, he doesn't commend Gaius specifically for his love. He mentions it, verse 6. Verse 5, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. So, yes, he mentions it. Gaius, the brethren who've been to you and have spent some time with you and have come back to Ephesus to report to the church have reported on your love, but he doesn't commend Gaius for it or doesn't say, I have no greater joy than to hear that you have a heart of love. That's what you would think is most important if you are around some Christians long enough. That's what you're going to hear, that's the most important thing in all the world is love. No. This epistle teaches us that though love is important, it's not the most important thing. What is? Truth. And the reason for that is because there is a connection, and Gaius' love flowed from his obedience to truth. When truth is central in a person's life, then love will follow. When truth is central in the life of a church congregation, then love will follow. It will flow. But when love is divorced from truth, then love easily dissipates and becomes empty sentiment and degenerates into something that is counterfeit. It is truth that binds the children together in love. And did you hear what I said? It binds the children of God together in love. So it is truth that produces true Christian unity because it binds Christians together in love. We see that here. John is connected. He's related to these people in the truth. R.C.H. Lenski said, those who think they can have love while they let go of truth are mistaken. Let me repeat that. Those who think they can have love while they let go of truth are mistaken. There are a lot of people like that. Don't harp on the truth. Just emphasize love, 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 love. Everything is love. The most important thing is love. No, the most important thing is truth. Truth will produce true biblical love. But love divorced from truth is going to degenerate into something other than true biblical love. There are a lot of people in our day that are looking for love in all the wrong places. If you would only understand its connection to truth, if you'll anchor Christian love in truth, then you will have the right foundation and you'll have the right kind of love. If you cut the tie between truth and love asunder, then you're going to soon have something that is vacuous. It is vain. It is empty. It is mere sentimentality. The reason for John's joy was truth. But notice also the reason for John's prayer. What prayer? Well, back to verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Been quite a few broadcasts back since we dealt with this prayer, but now it comes up again because there's a connection. When we come from verse 2, where John says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers, we come in verse 3 to the reason for John's prayer. For, that's the connecting word. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. And so what's the reason for John's prayer? It is that Gaius and others were walking in truth. I wish that in all things that you may prosper and be in health because of the truth. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth. This is an unusual prayer, this one where John prays for that you may prosper in all things and be in health. We dealt with that earlier, but he is praying for Gaius's general prosperity, and he is praying for Gaius's health and physical well-being as well as his spiritual well-being. We can't deny the words that are here, though they are often taken out of context. But this is an unusual prayer. And as far as I know, it's unique. It's the only one in the New Testament that focuses upon these particular elements. It is a prayer, as we saw earlier, for comprehensive prosperity, that you prosper in all things, all areas of life, physical, financial, emotional, relational. It is a prayer for physical health, that you will be in health, just as your soul prospers, but it is connected to spiritual prosperity. Just as your soul prospers, spiritual health is the priority. Spiritual health is the standard, the measuring rod of these other areas. Your physical health becomes an appropriate prayer request, an appropriate object to my prayer, in so much as you are in good spiritual health. Your financial well-being becomes an appropriate object of my prayer for you in so much as you are in good spiritual health. If you're in good spiritual health, then you're going to utilize the good physical health God gives you for the right reasons. If you're in good spiritual health, then you're going to use the financial prosperity that God grants you for the right reasons. It is an honorable prayer because it is included, but it is a contingent prayer. The reason for the prayer is dependent upon that link to verses 3 and 4, that word for, I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. This report of Gaius's commitment to truth makes this prayer for his general well-being and financial well-being and physical health legitimate and honorable. It makes this prayer appropriate. His physical resources are linked to spiritual prosperity, and these resources are wholly dedicated to the cause of truth. It strikes me that this prayer of John for Gaius's well-being, that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers, it strikes me that a prayer like that is best prayed by someone other than myself. What do I mean by that? I don't know how appropriate it is for me to pray for my financial prosperity, even for my physical health and well-being. I think the main thing I ought to be praying for is for my soul's spiritual health. Confessing my sins, acknowledging my weaknesses, asking God to help me, to make me more Christ-like, to eliminate from my life those things that are weak and are wrong and are sinful. And leave it to God to give me the measure of physical health and financial well-being that He knows is best for me. But it's appropriate for others who, if they see a strong commitment to truth in my life and believe that my physical well-being, my health, and even my financial well-being in certain circumstances, like Gaius, who was using it to support Christian workers, if others see that in me, see that commitment to truth, and have reason to believe that I'm not going to misuse such blessings, then let them pray. Let them pray for my good physical health. Let them pray for my financial well-being, so that I'm not focusing on that, but others see the connection between that and truth. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.